In our reading, Paul is now out of the picture for a bit, and Luke chooses to focus on Peter instead. And Luke tells us that Peter was going here and there. And what he probably means by that is that Peter was going to visit the scattered Christians. Now that Paul had become a Christian, the persecution that they had been suffering had probably slowed down and even come to an end. And that meant that Peter now had the opportunity to go and to strengthen the saints who had been driven out of Jerusalem. And in his traveling, as he was going about the countryside, he ended up at a town called Lydda. Lydda was about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem on the way to the sea. And while he was there, Peter met some Christians. How many Christians were not really told? They probably had come from Jerusalem. And in the city also, he met a man named Aeneas. Aeneas, Luke tells us, was paralyzed. He had been bedridden for 8 years. Here was a man in very deep need. And so Peter, moved with compassion, goes to him. And we're told in verse 34, Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And through this miracle, many in that town and in that area came to know the Lord by faith and were saved. Now, we might not think much of this miracle. After all, we've heard miracles like it before. And even in the book of Acts itself, we've seen Peter doing very similar things. In that sense, this miracle is not unique. But we should note at least a couple of things about this miracle. First of all, note what Peter says. He says, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." Peter does not say, "I heal you." He doesn't even say, "I, by the power of God, heal you." Peter says, "Jesus heals you." God is at work here to make you whole. This is God's power visible to all. And the second thing that we should note is how similar what Peter is doing here is to things that Jesus had done before. For example, in Luke chapter 5, we're told of a paralytic who had been brought to Jesus by some friends. And Jesus, moved with compassion, said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." So just with a word, this man gets up and walks away. And the very same thing happens here. Peter speaks in the name of God. The man gets up and he walks away. Peter has done the very same thing as Jesus. So God is not only at work in healing this man, God is also at work through Peter. It is Peter's voice, but God's power. And thinking about the miracle in this way, Christians, helps us also to understand the one that comes right after it. Luke goes on to say that there was a Christian woman living in the city of Joppa. Joppa was a city on the coast about 11 miles northwest of Lydda. And this woman named Tabitha or Dorcas, and it's the same name, it's two different languages, but both of them mean gazelle. But this woman, whatever you want to call her, suddenly died. And so they laid her body in an upper room. However, the news about what had happened to Aeneas had reached them, and so the disciples in Joppa sent two men to go and to find Peter and to call him to come to them quickly. Now, that in itself was a very unusual thing to do. The normal thing to do in those days was to bury the body as quickly as possible. But in this case, it seems that they figure something big is about to happen. They know that God is with Peter. And so they laid out her body and they went to find him, even though the journey would have taken them a few hours just to get there and a few hours to come back. They know that God is about to do something. And when Peter arrives, he goes into the house. He puts everybody outside. And kneeling beside her corpse, he prays. And then he speaks to the body, "Tabitha, arise." And she came back to life in that moment and sat up. And Peter presented her alive to the saints of Joppa. But notice again in this miracle, Christians, how Peter is looking towards God. Peter doesn't come in and do some magic to make her rise up again. He's not coming in and waving his hand and saying some kind of an incantation. Rather, he kneels and he prays, calling on the Lord to do something for her. And he's looking to the power of God to do all of these things. It is God, then, who raised her from the dead. And at the same time, notice how Peter is again doing the very same thing as Jesus. Because in the Gospels, we are told of a young girl who died. And her father went to find Jesus to have him come and to do something for her. And Jesus, moved with compassion, goes. And entering in the house, he puts everyone outside, and then he speaks to her lifeless body. In the Gospel of Mark, we're told, taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she immediately came back to life, and Jesus gave her back to her family. So in that way, Peter has done something similar to Jesus, even in the very words that he says. Jesus said, "Talitha," and Peter says, "Tabitha." Now, I know that they're not the same words, but they sound the same. And so at the very least, we see him imitating Jesus, even in some degree, in the words that he says. We hear Peter's voice, but we see the power of God. All of this is to say, Christians, that there is no doubt that God is at work here. Peter couldn't do any of these things on his own. Only God is able to make a paralyzed man walk. Only God can bring a dead woman back to life. So even if we see Peter, and that's the only thing that we can see, we certainly know that God is there. And this point is driven home by the fact that we have two miracles here. Because whenever God does something twice in the Bible, it's never an accident. He does things twice to show how important it is. And so these two miracles together show that God is at work here. He wants us to know beyond all doubt that he is the one who is doing this. And in the book of Acts, the reason why that's so important is because something big is about to happen. In the very next chapter, a big change is about to happen, that they need this kind of assurance because they're going to be confused by what is happening. They're going to be questioning if this is really of God, if this is something that God really wants. And we'll hear about all of that next time when we talk about Cornelius. But these two miracles show, beyond all doubt, that God is at work here. And if he's at work here, then he's definitely going to be at work there. even if it's hard to see at first. Now, these two miracles are important not only for what is about to happen in Acts, as we will see next week, but they're also important for us today because they give us confidence in these latter days. They show us that God is still at work among us, and therefore we do not need to doubt. Yeah, it's true. God is not working miracles the way that he did in the days of Peter. He's not doing the exact same thing. But there's no need. God has showed that he is at work through these miracles. And if God was at work back then, he's also at work now. Because there is only one church. There is only one body of Christ. And for that reason, when we are in the church, Christians, even if we hear a human voice, it is still the power of God. As Jesus himself says in Matthew 16, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever the church binds on earth, it is already bound in heaven. Whatever the church looses on earth, it is already loosed in heaven. When we hear that your sins have been forgiven, it's true. Your sins have been forgiven. We hear a human voice, but we see the power of God. Therefore, let us not doubt this truth, Christians. As Jesus says, he who hears you hears me. And those are more than just words. God is here among us, bringing his life and his forgiveness through his Son. And he is using the living voice of people to do it. God is still at work in his church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised to be with us even to the end of the age, teach us to always trust in you, knowing that you are at work through us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.